The Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Glory to you, O God. When John heard in prison what the Messiah was doing, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, "Are you the one who is to come, or are we to wait for another?" Jesus answered them, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have good news brought to them. And blessed is anyone who takes no offense at me." As they went away, Jesus began to speak to the crowds about John. "What did you go out in the wilderness to look at? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? Someone dressed in soft robes? Look, those who wear soft robes are in royal palaces. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, 'See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way before you.' Truly, I tell you, among those born of women, no one has arisen greater than John the Baptist. Yet the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Truly, I tell you, among those born of women, no one has arisen greater than John the Baptist. And yet, at the beginning of our message of joy this third Sunday of Advent, we meet with John in prison. In his time of suffering, he experiences a moment of doubt. If Jesus is indeed the prophesied Messiah who has come to cleanse the world of injustice and tyranny, why is John now at the mercy of a tyrant, awaiting his execution for speaking the truth? The tension of this Sunday's theme is to hold the joyful promise of the Messiah alongside our feelings of utter frustration and sometimes disillusionment. And within this tension, we are invited to truly examine our expectations of who Jesus is and what his purpose is in coming. Advent, this journey of anticipation of his returning in glory and of Christ's arrival in the manger, and our call to recognize his presence among us today, is our call to reflection and meditation on his identity as a Savior in our world of suffering, disillusionment, and disappointment, and our call to respond joyfully, and especially in our darkest moments. In his darkest moment, John, the greatest person ever born into the world, doubts Jesus' identity because he has arrived, and yet sin and corruption remain, and John, God's messenger sent to prepare the way, feels abandoned. Stanley Saunders asks, "Why are we still waiting? How long must we wait? Will Jesus really come to redeem those who suffer, or should we look for another?" The answer lies not in any academic or technical decree of Christological titles and actions, but in what one makes of the signs that Jesus performs. Do we believe that when the blind see, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have the good news proclaimed to them, that we are seeing God's power? Or are we looking for something else? God made a covenant with Noah after the flood that God would never again decimate all of the earth again, no matter how bad things got. Instead, Christ's arrival into the world, meeting humanity exactly where we are, in the unjust world governed by tyrants, our sinful, greedy, and violent means have created for ourselves, is to bring about the establishment of a new creation among the old. Christ did not come into the world to destroy the earth by force, but came as a human among us, among our suffering, to plant new seeds of a new creation that we might be transformed and produce the first fruits of a new kingdom, conquering tyranny from the inside out. The signs of this new creation as presented by Jesus are those declared by the Hebrew prophets: healing, revelation, knowledge, and ultimately the conquering of death. And this is not what John the Baptist expected. Like many of his time, John imagined a purging of the world's oppressors, that a great warrior king would come and wipe out the evils of this world that lead to suffering. The tyrants, as we sang this morning from Mary's Canticle, would be torn from their thrones. And as he sat in prison, John was forced to confront his own expectations and question if he had put his trust, his faith, indeed his whole being, into the wrong Messiah. Now, we should not judge his doubting, for all people of faith have had moments like these. Though we may not have been put in prison for proclaiming the good news, we are all guilty of occasionally wondering if God is indeed at work. We do not need to look very far to witness so many who identify as righteous stand on the wrong side of God's justice, and many who are indeed righteous are forced to stand on the wrong side of kings. Jesus came and healed and gave sight and new knowledge and conquered death, and yet we still live in a world with sickness and ignorance and death. And so long as this is our reality, there will be doubt, and despair is the fruit of suffering. In the desert, Jesus challenges the crowd to consider their expectations, asking, "What is it that you went out into the wilderness to see?" And he teases them a little, listing examples of wealthy, important men, figures of worldly importance who got their way by means of force and manipulation, who they clearly, by coming out to see him and to see John, have demonstrated that they have no faith in. No, they came into the wilderness in search of a new truth. They came to learn of a better way of attaining justice and freedom from oppression. And perhaps they were disappointed. Or perhaps, like the shepherds on the hillside, the unclean outcasts of the city, the people were amazed that the Creator of all heaven and earth would humble himself to come down to us amidst our suffering, not as a great king or warrior. Jesus did not come to us as a new tyrant to dethrone another, but as the son of a carpenter to be born in the most humble of circumstances. In joining the humble of the earth, the great Messiah has invited the humble to join God in the work of heaven. All of the great prophecies speak to a great inversion of the powers of the earth, that the great would be made low and the low would be made great. We, like John, like the crowds of that day, will always be surprised at this news. And in the face of continued suffering, we will always be vulnerable to moments of doubt. And here is the good news: God has not given up on us. We are daily faced with opportunities to participate in Jesus' work, to heal, to learn, to teach, to hope, and thus participate in the establishment of the new kingdom. God did not destroy the earth. God upheld the covenant with Noah and has come among us with a promise of a final return, not by force or violence, but by love and healing. The Messiah did not come to earth to reform it, but to restore that good and very good first creation. And this can only come about one healing at a time. What many of us may initially mistake as God abandoning us or letting us down is actually a great blessing. When we remove the blinders of this world's expectations and recognize that in defying the status quo, we are free to see that what God is doing for us in sending us Jesus, and it is so much greater than a king or a tyrant of the earth could ever have accomplished. On this blessing, James Boyce writes, "To hear and see in this way is to acknowledge that Jesus is indeed the one who is coming as God's Messiah. It is to believe that there is power for a new creation in God's call to each of us as disciples to be transformed by repentance, to bear its fruits of love and mercy. It is to know that the deeds and words of renewal and hope that take shape in our world because of him, through us, and through others are marks of God's salvation. And each and every good deed is a cause for rejoicing, because it is the fruit of God's gift to humanity, bringing us one tiny step closer to the new kingdom. Now, the temptation will always be to bring us back down, for one healing does not bring about the end of all suffering at once. This week, we all witnessed one liberation of one prisoner as Brittany Griner was returned to her wife and family. And within moments, the good news was saturated with anger and resentment that there were still others unjustly held in prison. This response was certainly unsurprising, as many who have previously never spoken the names of Paul Whelan or Mark Fogel suddenly found in their continued imprisonment a new catalyst of anger and hatred. And even worse, vitriol towards Griner herself, as if it were her fault that she were freed and others were left behind. Like our compulsion to twist ourselves in knots as we seek our path, to make our path straight, so is our determination to reject joyfulness. It is an unnatural state of being. Our cynicism will allow for brief moments of fleeting happiness, provided that once the celebration is over, we resume our gloomy outlook on the world and label all expressions of optimism as naive. How then do we defy this impulse? How do we find and experience joy in the face of disappointment and frustration? By recognizing the Christ among us today. Even when things are at their darkest, we have the promises of our Creator, and we are called to find our strength and be comforted in the confidence of Christ's presence, both in the Spirit and within the lives of the people around us, in our communities, in every action of healing and liberation that happens every day in every corner of our dark world. Buried in the newsfeed of anger and cruelty, it can be hard sometimes to see the active works of God, our Messiah, among us. And when it gets hard, as it was hard for John, we are invited to recall that all that God has done for us, coming to us amidst our suffering and making himself vulnerable even unto death on the cross. He walked among us, taught us, showed us how to carry on his work and participate in the establishment of this new creation. We may not be able to predict the future, but we can respond to the opportunities in our present lives and trust that our small contributions are pieces of a much bigger puzzle, so much greater than we can imagine. And that is cause for joy. In our times of doubt and sorrow, we can always turn to God in prayer and petition for guidance and courage and wisdom, and we are promised that God is always listening to us. And as Jesus responded to John, God will not be angry at us when we stumble, but will show us the path to salvation. As we continue on our journey through Advent, I challenge each of you to consider seriously, what are your expectations of the Messiah? Who is Jesus to you? And what did his coming mean to your life? What do you hope for this Christmas? What injustices have you witnessed that you pray to God to dismantle in the world? And what are you doing to be a part of the new creation? Where do you see God active in the world today? And what disappointments or frustrations are your stumbling blocks? I invite you to meditate on these questions this week. May we all find the hope and peace gifted to us this Advent season, that we may be ready to welcome the Messiah's return with eyes open and hearts full of joy. Amen.